Welcome everybody to the church. Hope you're all having fun. Hope you're all enjoying being here. My name's Paul. Me and my wife, we run, and Sina, we run the children's and family ministry here at church. And are we all enjoying the series that we're doing of looking through the Gospel of Luke? Are we all enjoying it, everyone?
Yeah.
Yes? No? Brilliant? I heard yes, so that's good. Now, one good thing about looking through a gospel like this is that there's no surprises. Last week, I believe it was Lawrence, he talked to us about Luke chapter 7. And this week, guess what we're talking about? Luke 8. Brilliant. I heard that, smart person. And next week, what are we talking about? Luke 9. No surprises. We all know what we're in for. So let's get on with it. But I'll encourage you to go home, read the chapter that's coming up next week, verse yourself, so that when the preacher preaches it, you can critique that person. That would be awesome. And it's also really helpful. So if you have things that you don't like about my message today, or you want to critique, feel free to email it to pauledlin@mpbc.co. That would be mighty. Thank you very much. So as I have already told you, today's text comes from chapter 8, and I'm just looking at three verses today, so it should be nice and quick and we'll all get home for lunch. So before we begin, let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your presence this morning, Father, and we really do just welcome you, Father. We pray that you just point yourself in this meeting and just touch our hearts where we need to be touched, Father. And if we've had a busy week this week where lives are a bit cluttered and our thoughts are a bit wandering, Father, I pray that you just bring us back to focus, Father, so that we can focus on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the main theme of chapter 8 is faith. It starts by talking about the parable of the sower, and how the word of God comes and we plant and live it out through faith. This is the first 15 verses. Then this chapter ends with four amazing miracles. How he calms the storm, he brings a dead girl to life, he casts out a devil, and he heals a sick woman. So he does these four amazing miracles at the end of the chapter. And through it all, he says things like, "Don't be afraid. Just believe. Your faith has healed you. Go in peace." And to his disciples on the boat, he asked the question, "Where is your faith?" So the theme of this chapter is faith. Now Hebrews 11:1 sums it up this way. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is only as meaningful as the substance to which it is attached to. If your faith is based on bad substance, no matter how much of it you possess, then it isn't going to be much. For example, if you believe that if you would go to McDonald's five times a day over a five-year period, that you'll end up all beautiful and skinny and sexy, we all know that's not going to happen, right? But after 5 years, we'll probably end up looking like a Big Mac. Because your faith is not based upon something solid, something that's good, it's got some grit. But if your faith is based upon, say, exercise and healthy eating, then your faith will produce some fruit because there's a strong substance within your faith. And this is good news because my faith is not determined by me. It's not determined by anything that I do. It is all determined by him and how my faith is based upon him. And he is unshakable. And he is perfect in every way. So that in a nutshell is what Luke chapter 8 is talking about, faith. There's much more into it, but that's what it's talking about mainly. So chapter 8 starts by talking about the parable of the sower. It's the seed that you're sowing into your life made of good substance. Is it solid? Are we okay? If it is, then the fruit that is coming from your life will be amazing and God-honoring. Then, as I said, this chapter ends with four amazing miracles. And in the middle of this chapter are the three verses that I want us to focus on today. Luke chapter 8, 16 to 18. Let's read. No one lights a lamp and hides it in the clay, or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken away from them. So those are my three verses this morning. And it's just a little story here. And it follows on from the parable of the sower, which I've talked about before. The parable talks about the word, the seed, being planted into our lives. Well, these three verses share how this teaching, the seed, is a light that must be shining through us so that people around us can know who Jesus Christ is and can see Jesus through us. So clearly, the light that Jesus is talking about here is the word of God, and we are the lamps. We are the vessels of which contain the light. We are called to share his light. We are called to present this light to the world and to do so through faith. So faith is still the key. Sharing his word with faith, allowing his word to shine through us. Luke 8:16 says this, no one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand. In Mark's account, because he says the same thing, but he says it in question form. Yeah, this is the first question that Mark says. Mark 4:21. He says to them, do you bring a lamp and put it under a bowl or a bed? So church, do you? It's a question. Do you buy a lamp and hide it somewhere? Is that what you do with a lamp? Yes, no? No. Simple. You'll burn your bed. Second question. Don't you put it on its stand? Yes, no? Yes. Very simple questions, right? A lamp should never be covered up. And it should never be hidden. In order for a lamp to do what it's created to do, it must remain uncovered and it be allowed to shine. So is your light shining, church? So that word, that seed that God has placed within you needs to shine. Now, lamp and light is stated many, many times in Scripture and by Jesus. Let's look at one other account in the book of Matthew. But before Jesus starts referring to us as lights, he refers to us as salt. And this is what he says. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Now, the number one benefit from salt back then was to prevent decay. Number one benefit. Because back then there was no refrigerators, and I know what you're thinking, yeah, duh. So therefore, you would have to rub salt on the meat to preserve it, stop it from going off, stop it from decaying. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the ones that are going to stop this earth from decaying. This also means we are called to be different. So therefore, we have high standards. And we should not be controlled by our own desires, but we are asking, what would Jesus do? How many of us bought the wristlet? What would Jesus do? But the question is, have you lost your saltiness? There is only one way in which salt can lose its saltiness, and that is if it has been diluted by water. So for us as Christians, you use your saltiness when the gospel that we read is diluted. This means that we ignore those verses that are hard for us to read, that we only abide those passages that are easy, and we ignore those that are hard. And so therefore, the gospel loses its saltiness. We have diluted it down. And I'm sure none of us have or will ever do that. Next one. You are the light of the world, a town built on a hill that cannot be hidden. Now, often back then, they built cities upon limestones so that the light could be seen throughout all those around, because it'll reflect off the limestone and just go out. We are called to be beacons. We are called to stand out. So, church, do you stand out? Are you different, or are you just one of the same? Do you shine with Jesus, or are you just Joe Average? Now, if I was to ask you, your workmates, what would they say? What kind of a Christian would they say that you are? Or would they even know that you are a Christian? Do you stand out? Matthew 5:15. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Wherever you are the light. Wherever you are, God has tagged you and said, you're it, now shine. But while you're in the world, don't allow yourself to lose your saltiness. Don't put yourself into a situation where your light could go out. Don't allow your light to be under a bushel. Now let's go back to our verse for the day. Luke 8:17. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Now, often when we read passages like this, we only think about the negative. That's all we think about. God can see everything that I do, all those bad decisions that I ever make and are making. He sees them all. All those horrible, yucky thoughts that I have, but I don't want anyone else to see, God sees them. Often this is what we think about when we read these type of passages. We only focus and we only single out what is bad. In doing so, we can forget that God has called us, he has saved us, and he has completely forgiven our sin. But the question is, what about the positives? Because as the verse goes, there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be made known or brought out into the light. Your good deeds will be brought out into the light. Those times when your right hand has not known what your left hand has done. When you have sacrificed your time, and at times your family time, for the expansion of his kingdom. And even those times where you want to give more, but you can't. Maybe it's monetary. You want to give more, but you can't. God sees all those things. He hears those desires off your heart. And he knows it all, and he will bring it to light. So there is a promise that God sees your good deeds, and these good deeds will be brought into the light. Because you haven't blown your trumpet, because you are being patient to wait for your future reward. Luke 6:2 says this, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their full reward. What you have done in secret will be rewarded, will be brought to the light. And those people that have had their giving announced, or they have shouted out what they have done, they have already received their full. They've got it all already. But we are not hypocrites, are we? We are waiting patiently for that future reward. God sees in secret what we're doing, and God will announce it. 1 Corinthians 4:5. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praises from God. Now, I don't know what the end time is going to look like, but there is a promise here that those things which was done in secret will be made known. God sees everything. Everything you have done, good or bad. Luke 8:17, back to our verse. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Those things that you have done for his kingdom that no one else knows, God has seen them. And one day you will be richly rewarded. But there is still one truth that we can't get away from, that one day our life will be scrutinized and you will be judged. There's something we just can't get away from. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due for us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Now, I take bad to mean worthless. This is why we need to let our light shine. His light brightly for the lost. If you are walking close to Jesus, as I trust that each and every one of us are, then you are passionate about him. And when you're passionate about him, you'll talk about the passion that's on your heart, and it'll just flow out easily. And this is definitely the lost. His lost children, those people that don't know Christ, that is close to his heart, and therefore it needs to be close to ours as well if we are getting closer to him. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, Jesus is not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. It is God's will that no one is lost, that everyone is saved. Plus, we are always talking about that which is passionate to us, as I've already said. When Ethan was born, I showed everybody the photo. I talked about him all the time, and everyone saw it. Work, family, they all saw the photo. When JP was born, exactly the same thing. They all saw the photo. I told them all about it. We talk about that which we are passionate about. Are you that passionate about Jesus? Do people know about him? Does it just flow out of who you are? But this raises the question, how do we know that we are letting our light shine? And this is what Jesus says about that. Therefore, in Luke 8:18, therefore consider how carefully you listen. Mark 2:24 emphasized what you listen, but Luke talks about how you listen. And Jesus said, he who has ears, let them hear. Jesus is saying, do you have your ears on? Are you open to his transmission? And the only way that you know whether or not you are listening is whether or not you are doing it. Whether or not you are obeying his word. Luke 8:19 to 21, which is the next three verses from our text today. Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you. He replied, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Now, firstly, I think Jesus is being a little bit cheeky, because if I said this to my mum, I'd probably get a slap. But anyway, he didn't. But secondly, he is showing that the difference between his earthly family and the Christian family. And a special note here, Jesus loved his family. He loved them. In fact, when he was on the cross about to die, he said to John, "John, your mother, and Mary, your son." And from that day on, John looked after Mary. John looked after his mum. So Jesus made sure his mum was being looked after. And as the story goes on, it is said that John and Mary were buried next to each other in Ephesus, and a lot of scholars think that John, letter 2, was written to Mary. Feel free to look it up and see what you think as well. But a lot of people think John's second letter was written to Mary. So Jesus loved and looked after his family. He loved and he looked after them. And his example that he showed us is one for us all to follow. We all should look after our family. So do you? Do you look after your parents? Do you look after your children and aunties and uncles? Do you look after them? Are you following his example? But Jesus here is simply talking about his Christian family. And he says that if you are part of his family, then we hear God's word and put it into practice, as verse 21 says. This is how we know that we belong to Jesus and are part of his family, by hearing his word and putting it into practice. Let's read Luke 8:18, the last verse for today. "Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken from them." I like how John MacArthur sums up this verse. He says, "The one who has learned spiritual truths and applied it diligently will receive more truth to apply it." So you hear the truth, you read his word, and then you apply it, and it bears fruit. And this will happen so that you can attain more spiritual truth and then apply that. But if you do not have the word of God and you are not consumed by the light, then that which you think you know will also be taken away from you, because your own knowledge can't save you. Only faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus. Now, while I was putting this message together, I had two questions. And I'm sure that many of us have asked these kind of questions as well. The first question that I have was, am I doing enough? Is my light shining bright enough? And every time that I look around the world and people around us, I quite often just say, well, no. And then I ask the second question, why does it feel like God has placed a towel on my light? Because there are times when I want to shine, when I want to do something for Jesus, and he's like, it's not the right time yet. Just stay, just chill, just wait. So two questions. Am I doing enough? And why has God placed a towel on my light? Have you ever asked these questions? Or am I the only one? I see a few nods. And then to answer this, I want to introduce you to a guy called Paul G. Hilbert. And this guy is an American who grew up and was born in northern India. And this happened because his parents were missionaries in India. So Paul grew up in this missionary bubble where the community around him were missionaries, and they were focused on presenting the gospel to all those around him. So they were being lights. And this is how he grew up. Now, as he got older, he got frustrated with how they were presenting the gospel. And as he reflected on how he grew up and how they presented Jesus, he looked back at the people he knew in India and how they were to follow Jesus. They would have to give up their whole way of life. They would have to go from Hinduism or their cultural outfits or whatever, and to follow Jesus, they have to give all that up. So he did this critique on the Western way of doing mission, the Western way of being lights. So this is what he came up with. And I encourage you to look him up or Google him. If you've ever studied cultural anthropology, you would have heard of him. He's a geek. And I've tried reading his books, and I got stuck on the second paragraph. So I understand how he applied what he taught, but I don't really understand it. So Paul was asking this question, how do you know who you are? And he came up with two ways of asking this question. The first one was a bounded set, and the second one was a sentence set. And people in this bounded set, they have this clear set of attributes which makes them the same. For example, it could be a family reunion. We all know who's going to be invited to a family reunion. It's going to be your aunts and your uncles and those who might have been adopted into the family or married into your family. Now, your neighbor, as awesome as that person is, he's not going to be invited, is he? Just because he doesn't make the cut. Now, relating it back to the church, you are a Christian because you were born into it. And I'm sure there are many people here who can relate to that. I can. And there's nothing wrong with this way of doing things. And this is how he saw the Christians were in India. And it doesn't mean that you can't break into this bounded set, but you would often have to take upon yourself their way of doing things. And unfortunately, some churches make this line a lot thicker than what it should be. So it's hard for them to break in. And when they break into it, they have to do it their way. Now, do you think Jesus would be excited about this? No. But he came up with this other way, which I think is very biblical. He came up with this centered set. And this is where you have a very clear center. And for us as Christians, of course, it's going to be Jesus. So in the center set, it is based upon movement. Are you closer to Christ or are you moving away? That's what it's based upon. Another example could be guitar. So if you're a part of a guitar family, the guitar will be in the middle. And so it'll be based upon that. And now you could have been the best guitarist in the world. You might have played in the best bands and the biggest bands. And everyone knows who you are, but you haven't picked up a guitar for 20 years. Are you moving closer to the center or away? Away. But if you've just picked it up for the first time, you might be horrible. Nobody might want to listen to you. Are you moving closer to the center or away? Closer. Now, relating it back to our faith and allowing our lights to shine bright, there is only one question. Are you moving closer to Jesus or are you moving away? And this is also very biblical. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. For we have a better hope for which we draw near to God in Hebrews 7:9. And there's many other passages which talk about this, how all you've got to do is just come near to Christ. See, your Christian faith is not based upon how long you have been a Christian. You might have been a Christian for 20 years, but you haven't read your Bible for 3. Does that mean you're moving away from Christ or towards Him? It means you're moving away. You're separating yourself. But you might have been a Christian today, and you're passionate about Him. You love Him. You want to let your light shine. Are you moving closer or away? So this is what it's all based upon. So back to my question, am I doing enough? And why does it feel like there's a cover on my light? You are doing enough when you are trying to get close to Him. Even out of passion, your light will just shine. For me, this is encouraging because I don't have to have it all together. My life doesn't have to be sorted. I don't have to be a millionaire. I just got to be me. All I have to do is get close to him. And through that, your light will shine. So despite how we feel, despite any infirmities that we might have or any health issues or whatever it is that's going on with us, the only question you've got is, am I pushing closer to Christ? Am I trying my best to get near him? And when you are, that light will just shine. Now, this is not to say that God allows sin or God is happy with sin, but when you're walking close to Christ, he will shine a light on what needs to be perfected. And in doing so, that will change just out of relationship. Easy. It's not hard. Second question that I had was, does it feel like your lamp has been put out? You've had some sort of a cloth placed on your light. I have asked this question for myself because I have often thought that my light's been put out. I believe that God's called me to do something big with my life. And I want to jump out and do it. But for me, it's not right yet. So therefore, you kind of feel like your light's been snuffed out. But it's not the case. You just got to walk close to Jesus. Can I share with you one other story just before I close? A couple of weeks ago, my wife and I, we visited a baby that was born premature, 23 weeks old. Lucky to be alive. So the baby's going to be in hospital until week 40, and then they might be allowed out then. So the baby's kept alive by machines, and it's a real miracle story. But trust me, if you've got a gift, if you've got something that God has placed on your heart to do, you don't want it to be put out premature, because just like an unborn baby, the chances of survival goes down the earlier that it comes out. And when that baby's in the womb, you ask any mother, that is the most precious thing in the world. When you're in the womb, when your gift is being made perfect, it's not because you've been forgotten about, but it's because you're the most perfect and the most precious thing in the world. And God is perfecting you until you're ready to come out. So I trust this has been good for someone today or some people today. Can I have the worship team up, please? And I trust that it's been encouraging for people as well. Because God just wants you to get close to him. That's all he does. And for some of us, and most of us, we're doing just that. We might not even see it. We might think we're not doing enough, but really you are. And then for others, you might need to do something to just perfect it a bit more. So if you want prayer today after the service, feel free to come up for prayer. We have an awesome team to pray for you. I'll close this off with a prayer and I'll leave you to Stuart. So dear Lord, I thank you for today, Father. I thank you for these awesome people, Father. And I pray, Lord God, that the word spoken today won't go void, Father. And we just really thank you for today in Jesus' name. Amen.